All right, welcome back, everybody, to United Waste Men with Ethan Shaw and Ethan Pogue. We got an interesting episode for you today. We're going to start with some beer testing. There'll be some interesting beers we haven't tried before.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
It's been a pretty strenuous 2 weeks after our reading week, which is a weirdly positioned reading week, by the way.
It was a poorly. I might go far enough to say that it was poorly positioned.
Like, I got an email from, like, the director of my program, whatever, like, oh, like, it's the halfway point of the semester, like, I hope you guys are getting, like, the rest that you need to close out strong. I'm like,
yeah, where's this rest coming
from? Yeah, what do you mean? So, you know, it's been pretty difficult so far for us to continue to care about Zoom University.
Yes.
So we thought we'd have a couple beers on today's podcast.
Yeah, why not? It's a Saturday.
And unwind a little bit. Can you tell us, Shaw, about our adventure to the LCBO?
Oh, yeah. Today it was like any other Toronto COVID day. You know, we were walking to the LCBO and this fellow walks up to us and starts interacting with us. Didn't have the mask up. That was great. At least he offered us an elbow,
yeah,
instead of a hand.
A respectful, you know, elbow touch is always
so
good.
I did accept the elbow because I felt rude not to, but yeah. I don't know. I don't want to be rude. I don't know anything about the man, but yeah. I just thought it was an odd interaction. You had conversed with him before.
Yes, he is the friendly neighborhood. I mean, like, people need to respect, like, homeless people, because nevertheless, like, homeless people are still your neighbors, like, at the end of the
yeah.
day. So I don't want to disrespect anybody, but he was, 2 days ago, he was sitting outside, like, the kitty corner of my house, like, of my apartment door. And he was drinking beers and enjoying the sunshine on a beautiful,
yeah.
beautiful day. And I walked past him on the way to the beer store. He didn't say anything to me. But then on the way back, I was carrying a nice, firm 30-pack of Busch to get the weekend started. And he was just super excited for me to have that 30-pack. he asked me to give him one. And I told him, you know, like, I need every last one of them if I'm going to fall asleep tonight, which he thought was hilarious. So he recognized, I guess, me when I was
yeah.
walking with you to the LCBO. So he thought you'd chop it up with me. And he was rather aggravated at the fact that everyone was wearing masks and standing in lines to go into the stores.
I was rather aggravated he wasn't wearing masks.
Yes,
but
I was as well.
I just chose to step away because there was no mask happening.
And then he also asked if I would buy him a beer in the store. And I politely told him that I was equally as broke. He just didn't know it. And then I got roasted by the cashier at the LCBO.
Yeah.
Who also reminded me that I was broke. He's like, any air miles? Oh, probably not. Do you want to donate? Oh, you probably don't have enough money to donate. Like,
he was funny, though.
It's funny. It's funny that, like, companies ask us to donate and stuff because, like, they've already donated their money. They're just asking you to donate.
To help them out. Yeah.
To their replenish, like, their tax, like,
yeah.
whatever break, whatever they're getting for it. Like, you're not actually donating any money. The money's already been donated.
It's just going to LCBO.
Yeah, they're just trying yeah. to get their money back from donating. It's hilarious how
yeah,
they run it.
That's really weird.
Yeah, it's actually BS. What's on the lineup today, man? What do we got?
What do we got? So we're going to start off with we've got two beers, but
yeah.
we're going to start off with one. We're probably going to start with, do you want to start with the Sapporo?
I feel like we should.
I've never had Sapporo. You haven't had Sapporo. So we're
no.
going to try Sapporo. That's our first thing. Then we're going to go into a bit of poker talk because we've been playing some poker with the group here.
Yeah.
And I mean, I had learned it when COVID hit and you had also started
yeah.
doing it, so it'll be interesting to talk about it. And then we're gonna hit our second beer, which is a Collective Arts IPA, which will be interesting.
How'd you know about Collective Arts? Because I didn't know what that was.
I've just seen I went to this music thing with Alex last year and they had like a Collective Arts, you could try the beers
yeah
that they had, and I've heard of them before because they have like artists design the cans
yeah
and then they put beer in that, so it's
yeah.
kind of cool that
it
they
is.
Just have like local artists do stuff like that, which is awesome. So I thought that was kind of cool to support. And then we're gonna talk about the new Drake music that came out, and the Anderson Paak music. So we got some cool stuff coming up.
100%. And our beers are in the freezer right now.
They are. Maybe
let's call Tally to see if she'll come drop out the beers. let's get Tally on the line to see if this will work out.
We'll see if this happens.
This will be great. I mean, I don't expect this to work out, but we can always try. I mean, you never know.
Yeah, we'll see. It would be quite funny if she answered.
Yeah. I mean, Tally is you know, she's one of the homies. She might pull up and...
I don't believe Talia will pick up those beers for us, but we'll see.
There's a really slim chance. But she's done class, right? Because she teaches on Saturdays.
She was watching The Office last I saw.
Yeah, true. I don't think she's going to pick this up. Maybe I should hit her with a FaceTime. I think she's on a laptop. I don't think she has her phone.
Probably.
We're switching to the FaceTime now.
Okay.
I don't know if you can hear
Let's see if that works. I can hear that, yeah.
I don't think she's going
to
get it.
No, her. Probably not. We this might have to go get our beers ourselves.
She canceled it.
I'll get the Sapporos and you get the
I'll get the other ones. Okay, sounds good. I'll keep the people entertained while you're gone. Wow, so Shaw's gone. I'm all by myself for the podcast. I guess I will mention the fact that I'm going to be drinking these beers on an empty stomach. I ate one protein bar today, and it's been gargling around in my stomach for a while now. So I'm curious to know how these beers will affect me. I don't think Shaw's eaten much either, so the boys could get rowdy. You never know. Tonight, after our podcast is over, as Shaw mentioned, we're going to do a little bit of poker talk, but we're also getting into the group's second game of poker tonight, which should be exciting. So we have some awesome things in store. I can hear the rumble of Shaw's big body coming down the hallway.
I'm back.
Sorry. Oh, my. He's just palming everything. Look at that.
I bought these just to throw in the fridge.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Thank you. That is wonderful. That is wonderful. All
right.
So, I think you understand when I say this. And this is really important. I think you understand how important this is. Shaw, do you want to speak on how important this is?
Absolutely, man. I mean... I feel like not a lot of people are really speaking up about this, but go ahead, man. Just let us know.
Yeah, I think it's important that we just come out flat out and just say bluntly, like, you know, I love beer. Feels good to say. You know what? Go ahead and say it, Shaw.
I love beer, man. I love it. It's amazing to just be able to say this out loud. And now I have.
It's been a long time coming. That was awesome.
Wow,
these are beautiful. Thank you, Sasha. What an interesting, like, pop can.
Yeah, yeah, first of all, let's talk about the can. We got a Sapporo in front of us, and it's kind of shaped like a pint glass.
It is shaped like a pint glass. Right? It's interesting. It's 650 milliliters at 5% alcohol content.
That's more than a pint. That's a big one.
Yeah, let's get right into it.
Let's do it.
Ooh.
Interesting. Hmm. Cracked real nice.
No, cracked. Interesting.
So how do we start the...
We looked up a beer review page to figure out how we're supposed to review these beers.
All right. So, yeah, I guess we just pour it out. We'll see what it looks like.
Yeah, well, I guess you have to use all your senses when you drink a beer.
Definitely, man.
I mean, typically I don't really do that, but... typically I just yam it down my throat until I'm satisfied.
So this is a pretty light-looking beer. It kind of looks...
Yeah, it's
very golden color. It's not brown, really.
You did better job pouring than me. Shaw has a perfect 2 inches of head, and I think I have 5.
I think I just pour more beers into glasses.
I really go right out of the can. Is this a lager? Is this a...
It doesn't even say on the can, but it just says premium beer.
Is Sapporo, is that a Japanese company, or...
I don't know.
We know
what
nothing.
Do we know about Sapporo? Nothing.
Let's do some research here.
Let's do
Sapporo.
It.
Sapporo sushi. Okay.
Sapporo beer. What can we learn here? It's a Japanese beer brewing company. It's the oldest brand of beer in Japan. It's brewed in Sapporo, Japan. I guess it started there. What kind of beer is Sapporo? It's a lager. Okay,
it's a
cool.
Lager? Okay.
Yeah.
I like lager. So
I like lager too. Heineken's a lager.
True.
It's a refreshing lager with a crisp, refined flavor and a clean finish.
Okay. I would say that this is a nice clear lager. I think it looks pretty good.
It certainly does.
I think I could definitely change the lighting in my room and we could get a better
so
look
at this.
So we
can see the beer better?
Yeah, you want me to hit a white?
Yeah, should I turn the light on in here?
Oh. Yeah, sure.
Oh,
there we go.
That's very bright. Okay, cool.
I know that the restaurant I worked at in the summertime, the Beamish House, they sold Sapporo on tap, and it was rather popular. It's just like I never tried it. But I know that the bartender I worked with, Sean, who is quite the beer reviewer.
Oh yeah.
Not by career choice.
No, just
simply just by preference.
Nice.
Just likes to really down the beers. whether he pays for them or not.
Perfect.
Whether he's on the shift or not. He really likes the Sapporos. You know what? It's a nice color. Let me get the smell in here.
I guess we have to do the smell. I'm dying to taste this, but we've done the look.
So the appearance is 6% of what we believe is important, and then smell is 24%. So describe any malts, hops, yeast, or other aromas.
So first of all, yeah, it's a golden, very golden color. It smells kind of roasty.
Yeah.
Does it smell roasty to you?
Yeah, roasty. I'd say it's pretty. Do you think it's hoppy? I don't really know what hops.
I don't really know. I honestly, dank, resiny, herbal, perfumey, spicy.
The amount of beer we drink, we don't know that much about beer.
Dude, there's not that much smell to this. I feel like the aroma's pretty.
I'm going in. I took a sip. That's good.
Me too. That's pretty
good.
I'm
not bad.
That's pretty good.
I'm not bad, that's not at, this bad beer. At all. So describe any malt, hops, fermentation, byproducts, balance, finish. I would say the finish is very smooth.
It is. I mean, that's what they said on the description, but not a huge aftertaste. It's slightly bitter.
Slightly.
But
I wonder what it reminds me of.
It's honestly, it's a very, it's pretty tame. It's not super.
No.
It's.
I'm trying to think what it reminds me of, but I can't really put my finger on it.
It's a little bit bitter, but it's, I don't know.
It kind of tastes like if Pabst was better. If Pabst cared about their product.
Yeah, and Pabst tastes less skunky, maybe.
How's the mouth feel? How does it feel in your mouth?
The taste? Is this still the taste part? Oh, mouth feel. The butter's body carbonation, warmth, creaminess.
I'd say there's a nice carbonation creaminess kind of energy to it.
Yeah, there's a reasonable creaminess.
It's definitely light though. It's a light beer.
It's very light.
It's a very light beer.
Super light.
It's a super consumable beer.
Yeah, it is. But it's super expensive, right?
It is mad expensive. How much do we
I don't know specifically how. I think it was $4 or $5 a can.
But we got bigger cans though, right?
Yeah, it is a big can.
The Sapporo Premium Beer at 650 milliliters was $4.25.
Okay, and that's kind of expected. The Heineken is like $3.50 if you buy it on
the Collective Arts was actually more expensive for less beer.
Well, it's a craft beer, so they're usually kind of expensive.
Now, let's talk about craft beer a little bit, because I feel like millennials try to push craft beer as if it's important, and craft beers are just never that good.
Yeah, man. Some craft beers are good, but it's never better than your go-to not craft beer. Like, Heineken, I've never had a craft beer that was better than Heineken.
No, you know? Never.
So it's like, the craft beers are interesting, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's dope that we have, like, brewing companies that, like, experiment and try to push the envelope forward of what taste and what beer can be.
Yeah.
I just feel like that, like, especially the generation above us, and like, I don't even find like my parents' generation invest that much in craft beer. Like, they like what they like and they drink it consistently.
Yeah.
Like, you might find a craft beer from time to time that you enjoy and you'll stick to it.
Yeah.
But for me, like, I've never, you know, grasped onto a craft beer I really enjoy and I buy consistently.
No, me neither. But there is a good craft brewery in Woodstock, the Upper Thames Brewery. Mm. Shout out to them. I like their beer is pretty good, and I was popping popcorn there because my dad had a little bit of a deal going on with them, because they make root beer too, so they would give him root beer in exchange for popcorn. But no, they have a really good brewery. I've had a couple of their beers that I really liked. The Timber Beast I liked a lot. It was a very heavy beer though. I couldn't drink it a lot.
Yeah.
It was like kind of chocolatey, kind of like wood. I don't know, it tastes like the forest in some way.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah,
it was good. But but I couldn't have that all the time. I've never had a craft beer that I could have all the time.
No, that's the thing too. Is like, I feel like craft beer makes such a point and an emphasis to stray away from like your typical beers that like it almost gets a little overwhelming, the taste.
Yeah.
And especially when you go, because like I'm not well versed in my beer palate, even though I enjoy beer a lot.
Yeah.
I really stick to lighter, lagers and beers that like don't really make you super bloated or like challenge your like taste buds that much.
True.
So, like that's like your red ales, your darker beers. Like I like to claim to have Irish heritage, I can't drink Guinness.
I've never had Guinness. We should review a Guinness.
We should definitely review a Guinness.
But
oh, fun fact, we found out today from Jacob that.
Oh yeah, Jacob told us that the Guinness. Do you think he was just bullshitting?
He could have been.
He told us that the Guinness Book of World Records, that same company makes Guinness beer.
I had no idea.
I didn't know that either. And the Michelin star, like, we should look this up to make sure that he's telling us the
truth. We should fact check him.
But he told us that the Michelin star was made by the tire company.
The Michelin man, like, but wait, yeah, I guess that's, okay, yeah.
Like, could that be. Seems ridiculous, but is that true?
That's kind of like
Bic. How the Michelin guide made a tire company the world's fine dining authority?
What? So it's real.
So it's probably true about the Guinness thing as well. But they just both sounded ridiculously.
So Guinness just makes beers and makes like records records.
Whoever like started Guinness or started Michelin probably just did stuff they liked.
Yeah.
And I was like, I like cars. I'm gonna make some tires, and then you know what? I like food too. I'll just review that. That'd become the like most renowned thing in food.
We get you to the restaurant, and then we tell you how good the food's going to be.
That's crazy.
That is insane.
That's cool.
That is super dope. But yeah, speaking of Guinness, I've had it. I had a Guinness. My first beer, actually. And this is on our
one little
question.
Schedule.
We have one question per our beer blocks here. Tell me about your first beer, and I'll tell you about my first beer. It was a summer going into grade 9, I think. I want to say. Summer going into grade 9. I was at my friend's cottage, who like I'm good family friends with, and I was there with my sister and the family friends and my cousins, and my friend Michael goes up and he's like, "Hey Ethan, like, you know, like the adults aren't here anymore. Like, I know you're younger and like you probably never had a beer before. Do you want me to grab you a beer?" I was like, "Yeah, for sure, go grab me a beer." So he goes up and he grabs me a Guinness and he comes back. So my first beer I ever drank was a Guinness. I forgot about that until right about now.
That's heavy.
So he came down. Yeah, no, he gave me a Guinness and like, of course, like I just want to fit in and pretend I'm cool. So like I'm drinking it, pretending I liked it, but I really hated it. And all I remember about that moment is like, because I got really drunk off two beers. Because I was, you know,
yeah,
I was
no,
like,
no doubt,
4 foot nothing, probably 50 pounds soaking wet at 13. I remember in the Guinness can, there's a ball. There's a ball in the Guinness can.
There's a couple beers like that when they.
Yeah, and I couldn't remember why, but I was shaking the shit out of it trying to figure out why there's a ball in there, but I'm sure it does.
You're
something.
Just supposed to like rotate it back and forth. Yeah. Right? To kind of like get. It's just so whatever's in it just doesn't sit at the bottom.
Yeah,
like,
I think so. Yeah.
But.
Tell me about your first beer, man.
Yeah, I was saying before this, I don't specifically remember my first beer, but I remember like a couple instances when I first started drinking beer, and one of the first things I started drinking was Pabst, and that was in my friend Ben's basement. We would just drink a lot of Pabst in his father's basement. That was just a thing we did on the weekends, and I remember one time. It wasn't my first beer, but it was like probably in the first year of drinking beer, maybe like consistently. And I had like 7 Pabst in an hour. I was just feeling, you feel like on top of the world for like 10 minutes. Then after that, I was just vomiting into the laundry sink the rest of the night. It was terrible, man. I was just sitting on the floor dying. That laundry sink went through a lot, man. We used to pee in that laundry sink because there was no bathroom downstairs. So Ben... It was the most hilarious thing the first time we did it. And he would just like, he's like, man, like, because when we would get high and stuff, like, we wouldn't want to go talk to his parents and go buy them to, like, go in the bathroom. So we would just pee in the laundry sink downstairs. No one used the laundry sink. It was just a sink that was down there. But it became just our toilet when we were drunk.
It was crazy. Incredible. Wow. Yeah. I'm sure that his parents don't want to find out about that.
Yeah, they probably won't listen to this podcast, but
let's pray they don't.
Let's pray
they might
don't.
Not let you over again.
Yeah, I don't think they'll listen to it.
No.
Hopefully not, at least.
Yeah, hopefully not. So they had a laundry sink, they didn't like use it for laundry.
No, like they had a laundry sink upstairs where their actual like laundry machines were. That's the one they used. This one was just downstairs, kind of. It was just for like working on like woodworking, probably like stuff. I don't know. It wasn't a serious thing that we would just pee in it and aim for the
gutter.
Hole. Yeah. But it went through worse. I'm probably vomiting, and it was definitely worse than
Yeah, it's a real interesting play call.
Yeah, well, I had to, man. I mean, yeah. I had 7 paths.
Yeah.
And I was not prepared for that, so I just went to the nearest place that could be drained.
Shaw, you lift weights, right?
Weights.
Shaw, you're a big man, right?
Man.
Shaw, you like sports, right?
Sports!
All right, speaking of beers, we have some beers lined up for us to drink tonight because we are getting into our second poker match tonight with the group. We ran our first poker game, I want to say, on Wednesday night.
Yeah, we've been teaching them poker, but that was our first real... A little bit money involved.
Well, you can explain this one. So we've been practicing poker, but we weren't like really going hard because we didn't have a set. We didn't have a poker set for a minute, so we were using...
Yeah, we were using coins, just counting them out every time, which is pretty gross, honestly, touching all that money. But we had to teach like our group how to play poker. We couldn't like play for money without them actually understanding the game. So
yeah,
as a poker player that likes... to play poker for money, you have to sacrifice a couple games with no money and just teach them how to do it, right?
Yeah.
So that was fun to do, and on Wednesday, you were saying,
that
we got our actual first game with money going, and it was pretty good. We just started a little late, and then it ended up being 1 a.m., so three of us just split it because...
Yeah. We wanted to go to bed.
Yeah.
We both kind of got into poker around the same time.
Yeah.
I had played poker before, but not a whole lot just because I was kind of broke growing up. Like, I didn't have, like, a lot of money. And, like, my friends and I, like, we didn't, like, play cards.
No, me either.
Like, I played cards with my family because that's what we do. But now cards has become, like, a big thing that we do for pastime because of COVID because
what the hell else
are we going to do? So I remember the beginning of the pandemic. As a sport media student, like, I didn't have any sports to watch. So I was like, let me go find something interesting to watch. So I started watching David Negreanu, Daniel Negreanu, who's like one of the top poker players.
And he's Canadian
too.
Yeah.
And he's Canadian. And he was like, excuse me, it was incredible to watch because
he's
how like toxic he is on the board or like on the table.
He just talks like so much table talk. Yeah.
Is that, what does he call it? Diarrhea of the mouth?
I don't know. He says that in one of the clips.
Yeah.
I think,
but watching like the videos are so interesting because of like how tense poker can be and its little intricacies. Like, it's such an interesting game to not only play, but also to watch. Like, I understand why poker is actually televised on network. Like, a lot of people will tell me, like, how is poker a sport? How does poker have like time on national television networks like ESPN? I get it.
Yeah, when you get into it, it's really interesting, man. Like, it's one thing to understand like the game. Understanding the game is easy, but understanding all the like intricate parts of the strategy is very difficult.
100%. And I think that was like one of the interesting things of like trying to teach to our group. Was when we played our first like kind of games of counting out coins and playing for nothing.
Yeah.
Like everybody would play every hand because they could.
Yeah.
And there's no consequences.
Yeah.
And then we run the Wednesday game and there's $5 on the line.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden people are folding when they should be.
Well, exactly. That's why we had to play for real money, is because it doesn't matter if you're good at poker. If you're playing against a bunch of people that aren't playing for money, they're not going to care. You're probably not going to actually be able to use skill.
Yeah.
Right. It's like when there's real money involved, that's when you can really get into like actually being good at poker, and that's where it matters, is because people will care even if it's $5.
Yeah,
you know, 100%. they're gonna care about that. So
and
yeah,
I've you know, been honest about I've been honest on this podcast about my the way in which that I attack my sports betting.
Yeah.
And I've been honest about how I've been unsuccessful and I've been successful, and how I maybe fall into a bit of a hole in being, not saying addicted, but
sports betting. You enjoy doing that.
Now it's your turn to talk about poker.
Man, yeah. I mean, I still like poker. I just had to stop playing it online.
Yeah, how come, Shaw?
Because I lost a bit of money. It wasn't a ton of money. It was just like, I can't keep doing this.
You lost more money playing poker than I lost sports betting.
No, I didn't. I've lost like... I'm not gonna say it on here, but
yeah, I said
not that much. A couple hundred bucks.
I lost $450 on Pinnacle, and I made $800 on Bet365. So I made back my money.
Okay. Yeah.
How's your poker going?
Yeah, I lost like $200-$300 doing it, and I was like, that's like too much money to keep doing. You know.
So what happened? You downloaded PokerStars.net during the pandemic. Couple lonely, you know, weekday nights in the crib.
Yeah.
And you're just in there grinding.
Well, I was just, yeah, I was enjoying it, man. It was fun during COVID to, like, learn how to play poker. Because, yeah, I played it when I was a kid, but not, like, learn this, like, strategy and stuff. But yeah, no, I stopped playing it because I lost a couple $100. And I was like, online, it's hard to win. It's really hard to win. Because, like, when I play in person, like, I made some of that money back playing in person against, like, Braden and his friends.
Well, obviously.
Because when you're in person, you can actually read the people. You can figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
But online,
comes down to the numbers mostly.
It's literally just the numbers or just like how good your hand is. So I stopped playing online because I was just like, I'm not. It seems rigged in a way that I can't really even put any skill into this. I'm just playing it because I enjoy it. And losing $200-$300 over like a year of playing isn't that much. You know, it's just like, it still sucks.
Yeah, but I can't say that about sports betting. I still get ragged on. And I made my money back.
Well, no, I think you just advertise your sports betting a lot.
Yeah,
more.
I think it's kind of funny. But it's nice to know that you had a bit of a vice too happening online.
Yeah, definitely,
for
man.
For gambling.
I didn't let it get out of hand because I was like, I don't want to.
$200-$300 out of hand?
$200-$300 isn't the end of the world.
How much were you spending per game?
Like, I would play like a $10 cash game or something where it's like the ante or what am I even saying right now? The blinds are like 5 and 10 cents, you know, like it's not very much. So I just played a lot of games in like the year that I, well, probably 9-10 months of it. I just played a lot of games.
And how many games did you win?
For a while I did win, and then just really? For a while I didn't win, but that's how poker goes.
Yeah,
you know, that's, and I realized I couldn't sustain that, whereas like people that play poker for a living go through huge swings of highs and lows, man. Mm-hmm. People like Tom Dwan, people like Phil Ivey, Daniel Negreanu, to get to where they were, there were times where they were hundreds of thousands of dollars in the hole.
Yeah,
you know, because that's how poker, when you're a professional, goes. And I was like, that's not a sustainable thing for most people.
No,
it's
because
I watch a lot of videos on those guys to see like how they did it, and like Tom Dwan at times, you know, was hundreds of thousands in the hole online as well as like it's crazy the swings they go through. And I was like, this is what poker is when you do it too much.
Yeah,
you know, like those guys are definitely addicted to poker. Yeah. They just like worked at it enough that most of them are okay now. Like Daniel Negreanu's net worth is like 40 million or something.
Yeah.
So it's like, $200-$300. When I looked at that, I was like, that's not the end of the world. But if I kept doing that, like, you know,
yeah,
you get caught in this like poker thing where you just keep going into the hole, that's when it gets bad.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when I checked myself, I was like, I'm not going to play poker like this that much. I'm going to play it with my friends in real life.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll do that. And I'll play an online game if it's with people I know.
Yeah.
But I'm not just going to keep playing it online. That's just a waste of money.
Yeah,
you know?
I hear you.
So,
I hear you. Speaking of Phil Ivey, he's like one of the biggest cucks in
I
in
love
poker.
Phil Ivey, man.
He's such a dick.
Dude, he's great.
He's great, but he's an asshole.
Phil Ivey? No, man. He's just one of the greatest of all time.
Okay. I know he's one of the greatest of all time, but of all of them, he's like definitely like up there as like one of the biggest pricks in poker.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
A little bit.
I don't know. Like Phil, I don't really see that in Phil Ivey. I think he's just like a really good poker player.
Okay. Okay. What are your hopes and aspirations for these group poker sessions?
I just hope we can get everybody involved in it. Like, I think poker is good when it's just like a group activity you do and you have some fun, you bet a little money,
yeah,
and it's nothing serious. It's not like a super huge thing. I think that's when poker's best.
Yeah, I think our last session was a lot of fun, how everyone got like really involved and everyone had like sunglasses on or was really involved in the action. But I think the more that everyone learns the game, the faster the pace will pick up, because I think we're still kind of, like I said, like last time when we played, I said like, oh, like Shaw's being a great host right now. But really what I meant is like, oh, like you're facilitating the game structure really well.
I felt like kind of a dick when, because I was like, trying to push people. I would just be like, yo, that's your small blind, your big blind, saying it's like every hand.
Yeah.
And I was like, I feel like I'm like pushing people to play, but like it's just because people get lose focus. Yeah. Then you gotta, and Jacob told me, I was like, yeah, man, I don't know if I'm being like, if that's annoying. And he's like, no, you gotta do that.
You have to. Yeah. You just gotta step up and explain what's going on. Not everyone, like, it takes a minute to understand, like, the nuances of the game and how, like, the game kind of facilitates around each.
Yeah.
Each
and concept. I mean, Alex was saying to me too, she's like, I still don't know when I can check and when I can fold, you know, like, there's still a little couple things like that we have to clarify for people. Yeah. Is that, because it does get confusing. There's no
it
doubt
it can
about that.
Get confusing.
Yeah.
And then you have wrote down here on the little block we have on our United Wasteman document here that we use for our podcast. And we spoke about this beforehand. Not only would it be a great trip to go to Niagara Falls just to do some group travel or to hang out as
that'd
a,
be fun.
As,
yeah,
but to go to a casino and actually like play some poker.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
That'd be incredible.
I want to play poker in a casino because that's like actually playing poker with people that know how to play poker. Yeah. That's where it'd be really fun.
I just feel like I'd be really intimidated if I went because I feel like I know the least at the table. No matter what.
Yeah, that is the issue. It's like you'd have to sit at a table and kind of you'd have to find a table where you're not the worst player at the table.
Yeah.
You know, because poker is pretty brutal in that way. It's like if you're the fifth best player at a 5-man table, you're going to lose the most money.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just like
simple as that.
That's just so we'd have to find a table where we're not the worst people at the table.
Yeah.
Which might be hard to find.
I wonder the logistics of like me and you sitting at the same table. I don't know if I could do that.
I think that's how we should do it. That'd be fun to like sit together.
But I don't want to take your money, bro.
Take my money. You think I'm losing money at a table with me and you?
Come on, man. You know I'm a bad boy on the table.
Yeah, is that what happened on Wednesday, bro?
Get off my ass, bro. You know who took my money? My goddamn girlfriend. I don't even know how she pulled that off.
Actually, I finished you off.
You did finish me off, but she took a large sum of that cash.
She did, man. She did.
She did. That was upsetting.
It was a good game though.
Yeah, 100%. And I feel like moving forward, like we should continue to try to do like poker nights and really, because I know that like our next session, we're doing a game tonight, but tonight's game is really just like a practice night for our big outing, which is set for Saturday.
Yeah, are we gonna do like a little $5 or something?
Yeah, I think tonight's gonna be $5, but I know that we're scheduling for eventually like a weekend night where we do a $20 buy-in.
That would be
and
fun.
Like we really
that'd be really good.
That'd be a really good poker night. Like that could get competitive because we have a competitive group.
Definitely, man. That would get very. I think that would really keep people focused when the like pot you could win is like $120,
mm-hmm.
Right? So
100%. Well, Shaw. This would be the point where we would kind of transition from this block to the next one, but the next block is beer number two, and we're not done the first one.
We barely began this. I don't know if, like, there's no way we finished this beer. Did we start?
This is done. I just gotta finish this.
Okay, you but like, I'm basically at the same point as you, maybe a little behind.
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
But should we just open the other one to try it and then finish them both after?
Yeah, sure, why not? We'll do it that way. We'll drink that one out of the can, I guess. But then we can't really see it.
Hmm?
We can't really see it. Do you want me to grab some glasses?
Do we need... Yeah, I guess we need to
we
kinda see
need
it.
We kind of need to see it for our review. Let me go grab it because this is my turn to go
all
run.
All right, cool.
See the entertain the people while I'm gone.
All right. I don't know what to talk about, but... Yeah, for sure, man. I wonder who makes it this far in the podcast. Spotify told me that our first one, people were... not making it all the way through, but I think we'll get there. The first one can't be the greatest one, right? We're developing every day, so I'm excited about that. And this episode seems fun. I think we'll do more fun stuff. We've got a bubble episode coming soon, which will be really exciting to have everybody. Oh, thank you. To have everybody coming together for one that'll be an exciting one to come out, right, Pug? The bubble.
Let me bubble make episode? Sure. Yeah, the bubble episode would be great. I'm really excited for that one to come out. The only problem is editing it. The thing about like we try our best to put together a professional podcast here and
we do our best
in my room with our very skinny table and you have a much better microphone than I do. And this
microphone, it's actually my brother's, but yeah, maybe I'll yeah.
This microphone that I have is on a stand, so when we did the bubble podcast, like, everyone was passing around this microphone.
Yeah.
And me and you were sharing that one, so, like, the problem with these group podcasts is, like,
microphones.
When I edit them, I have to like either raise voices or like lower tough. Voices. Yeah. And like it's like every 10 seconds because there's like a new speaker moving back and forth drunkenly from like the microphone.
Yeah.
So.
We'll have to organize that better.
We'll definitely have to organize better. All right. So
it should be a good episode though.
Getting into beer number two now.
Yeah. This one smells very much like an IPA because it is an IPA.
Smells a lot like an IPA.
We should first of all talk about the look of this. This is a Collective Arts can, so it's designed by real like artists, right? And then they
Cool.
See, it says that's the Instagram handle of the artist.
Oh,
and then
that's
it shows
cool.
The art, right? So they have just various artists design different cans. And
well,
then
we should take a picture and tag this woman and tell her that we're doing a podcast for her beer. Yeah, and see if we get some clout.
Yeah,
we'll get some clout going on here. Hold on a second.
Yeah. This looks like it's the IPA number 16 International Women's Day Elderflower and Grapefruit IPA. Wow, that's a pretty cool IPA. Collective Arts. Awesome.
That's awesome. So,
first of all, I guess we have to look at it. So let's pour
in our glass here. We have a new glass.
This is another light looking beer.
Looking beer.
I think since it's grapefruit, it's a little foggier, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it has like a cider kind of look to it.
Yeah.
If you will.
So that's kind of the appearance, the smell.
Did you get the whole can in there, right?
No, there's like a spill. There we go.
There you go. We got the whole can in there. Yeah, it's definitely foggy.
It's light colored though.
It is a lighter color.
It's not as far as amber. It's probably still just a golden.
Yeah. I would say it almost looks like if Five Alive was sitting out for too long.
Yeah, kind of like a dark.
Yeah, like peach. A cloudy.
Yeah,
golden,
Five Alive that you wouldn't want to drink.
A little bit hazy. It's definitely not clear. Not as clear as Sapporo. Like I definitely can't see.
Oh yeah,
the
it's
glass.
Definitely not clear.
The smell.
The smell's very citrusy. Obviously,
citrus. Almost perfumey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fruity.
It's sweet. It's definitely sweet. Okay.
It definitely has the IPA smell to it.
Exactly like an IPA.
I know why probably, just because like I've never been a huge fan of IPA, so I was hesitant to buy this one, but I knew we had to get a beer we could bitch about.
We have to try it, though. And she said it was, the lady at LCBO said it wasn't like a really bitter IPA, right?
Yeah.
She said it was pretty easy getting down. So I guess it's taste time.
Yeah, it's taste time. Let's get it in our mouths. Cheers, homie.
Cheers.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, that's not that bad.
That's good.
That's pretty light for an IPA. That's usually quite bitter.
That's just like, there's like an aftertaste of
the aftertaste
IPA.
Is bitter, but it always is for an
it
IPA.
It always is for IPA. Yes, you're right. I don't know. Let's see what kind of description words they give here. I wouldn't say it's that boozy. Good. Citrusy.
It's still citrusy, but they're saying on here that like smell and taste are pretty... They go pretty hand in hand.
Yeah. No, I actually enjoy this beer. This is not horrible. That's a good recommendation by whoever toes were at LCBO.
Yeah, no, that
the
was
Learning
awesome.
Center on Parliament. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Describe the mouthfeel. Let me get it back in the mouth. See how she feels.
It's still bitter. Like, you can feel that against your tongue. What is astringency?
I can feel the carbs.
Yeah. Seltzer are like crisp, overcarbonated. I don't know if it's any of those. It's bitter though.
Do you think
slightly
it's,
carbonated.
Do you think it's kind of thin? I would say Sapporo is still like a little more smooth.
Yes. Yeah. This isn't the smoothest thing I've ever had.
No.
I don't know how a beer would taste if it was coarse. I guess this is slightly coarse.
Could what do you find that? Pleasurable or objectionable about it?
What do I find pleasurable about it?
Yeah.
That it's that the fruitiness of it, you can still feel that.
Yeah.
When you're tasting it, it's not just bitter.
Yeah.
You know, I find that with IPA, sometimes it's just the bitter taste overwhelms everything.
Yeah, 100%.
What about you? What are you enjoying about it?
I enjoy the lightweight texture to it. I think that... like you said, like IPAs, like it's really overwhelming, and I feel like it's not too heavy for my stomach to handle, because I feel like sometimes like when I drink something before an IPA and I switch, yeah. an IPA can really ruin all the other beers I already have laying in my stomach. And I feel like this was a nice addition on top of the Sapporo. I'm not mad at it.
True.
I almost kind of wish that we had started maybe with this one and finished with the Sapporo.
Interesting.
And, but I still like, I like this beer. If I were to rate the Sapporo, I would rate the Sapporo an 8 out of 10. I would rate this beer a 6.5 out of 10.
Okay, let me try the Sapporo again. Yeah, I think the reason, Sapporo, if Heineken for me is a perfect beer, it's 10. So like, Sapporo is good.
Yeah.
I just think it's uninteresting.
It is uninteresting. That's a great way to put it.
So I would give it a 7.5 because it meets what I want in a beer, but it doesn't go above and beyond.
Yeah. But there's nothing like upsetting about the beer, which is like,
no,
why.
It's good.
There's nothing off-putting. It's just
good. It's just not that interesting. It's just pretty simple.
Yeah.
Like light, easy to drink beer. And that's nothing bad about that, but it doesn't get an A.
No, there's nothing about Sapporo that's going to get an A from me.
And then IPA. Yeah. I give this a 7 just because I don't hate it. And IPA, this is a good IPA. I just think, like, I want to give it a decent rating. But it's not, I obviously would not choose an IPA over, like, a lager.
So. But any other IPA, like, especially, like, a craft brewing company, like, I would give it a 5. Like, IPAs always rank low for me.
Yeah.
But this is a decent IPA. You know?
It's good.
Like, I'm not upset by this IPA.
It's good.
So, we have another discussion point here on our block 2 for beer number 2. Well, block 3, beer number 2. What are your top 5 types of beers? So, I try to explain this to you before, but what I mean by that is like, what's your favorite situations in which you consume a beer, and how do those situations arise? I'm not talking about like your favorite like brands of beer.
Okay.
I'm talking about the way in which you digest
it.
Yeah,
I remember you explaining that.
So like for me, if I had to rank my top 5 beers, my favorite beer for sure, without a doubt, is the post 5 o'clock beer.
Okay.
When it's 5 o'clock on any day that ends in Y, I feel like I deserve me a beer.
That's a great beer.
It's a great beer.
That's a great beer.
A 5 o'clock beer is a great beer.
And we're saying any beer is after like a free and cold beer.
Yeah.
Like
of course. Yeah. I think that's common knowledge, but we'll reiterate.
We're just making sure that that's
The number one beer always is a free beer.
Cold beer
is number 2.
And then your favorite beer.
And then your favorite beer is number 3.
But yeah, situation-wise.
Situational beer.
After 5 o'clock, great beer. I think, I think specifically that's kind of along the same lines as what I would say is one of my favorite, but like after a really busy day beer.
Yeah.
You know, the end of a super productive day beer, that's the best.
So rewarding though. Yeah. Like, and I get it, like when like my poppy would talk about like after a hard day's work, he'll sit down and have a beer. Like I get that.
Yeah.
Like I feel that in my soul.
Like after hard work in the summer, that's another good beer.
Yeah.
It's like hot, sweaty weather. That work, after that kind of work, like when I did like the tree business with Braden.
Yeah.
We would often have a beer after with just like the team. Mm-hmm. That was always a really good beer because it was super cold and we had just been out in the sun in the summer for like 8 hours.
Yeah.
So that was always a good beer. After hard work in the summer, that's especially.
100%. I feel on that one. Especially because like when you finish your work in the summer, the sun's still up. It's usually like just about to set.
Yeah.
And you get a nice cold one in you.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a beautiful beer.
Yeah.
Number 2 for me is a shower beer.
Shower beer is a great beer.
Shower beer is a great beer. You know, it doubles up on your intake of like blood alcohol content somehow.
It accelerates that.
Whether it's a shower beer or a hot tub beer, I'm gonna say they're both the same.
Hot tub beer, yeah, that's awesome beer.
For me, number 3, I hope my parents aren't listening, but a post-sex beer, I'm never mad at.
That's a good beer.
You know, like two of life's greatest pleasures back to back there.
That's a great beer. I'm trying to think of more. Top 5, you had them all lined up. Wow, I didn't even.
Yeah. For me, number 4 coming in is a study beer.
Study beer.
I don't know why, but like when I'm studying for my midterm or my final, and I need a little brain juice. No, I slip me in a beer.
Okay.
Slip me in a beer, and then number 5 is a post smoke beer. So like when I smoke weed.
Oh.
And my mouth is dry.
Yeah.
But I don't want water because I want to continue my vibe of enjoying the
That's
atmosphere of the night.
That's a good one.
Is you get a nice cold pint in you after your mouth is dry. It's a beautiful beer.
I agree, like the post smoke, but like when you're sitting a little high, right? And then you just suddenly get the idea that like, wow, a beer would be great. That's an awesome.
I remember having a conversation with one of the chefs at BLCK Toronto, which I used to work at last year. Mm. The head chef told me like, you know, I'm 65 years old. I've been smoking weed and drinking beer. And the first time yesterday, I smoked weed and then had the beer. And
yeah.
It made it taste so much better.
That's so good.
And like, I guess for like 65 years, this guy has been drinking the beer and then smoking the weed.
Wow.
And he finally reversed the order and figured it out.
Wow. That
you're supposed to smoke the weed and then you have
both
the beer.
Are great, but yeah, but they're great. There's something about the smoking first too.
Yeah, 100%.
I'd say another beer that I enjoy is like a... when I'm working on some music with my friends. I haven't had a beer like this in a while, but like a studio beer when you're like a little too tense about what you're writing, you know, and then you have a beer just to relax a bit about it. And then it gets it flowing a little bit better. The creative.
I was having this conversation with Elises, but beer is like such a great alcoholic beverage.
Yeah.
Because it's so consistent. You know exactly what one beer will do to you. And
yeah.
When you add them up consistently over time, it doesn't vary that much. But like when you drink wine,
Wine comes in a bottle and then you just pour it out randomly. Right?
Yeah. Now when you do hard liquor, like you don't know how it's going to affect you because like depending on how much you ate that day, depending on your alcohol tolerance and depending how much you drank, it can all affect you like violently, right?
Yeah.
But like beer for some reason has always been very consistent
Definitely.
In how it treats my body.
I think it's because it's in such like perfect sizes. Comes in a can, which is like a perfect dose of that.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas like wine comes in a bottle and then you have to guess. Like, you measure that out yourself randomly, right? So you don't really... like, you're just getting a portion of whatever your hand told you to pour, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, beer comes in a can. You know exactly how much you're having specifically in that moment. You can have more of those if you want, but you know exactly what that unit is.
Yeah, right? 100%. I agree with you.
Trying to think of other good situations to have beer. Well, there's lots of great ones, but like
I feel like dock beers are great beers
dock
too.
Beer is
I feel
a great
like
beer.
I feel like more than anything, like on the dock, I think a beer is the best fitting alcoholic beverage.
Because definitely. Like a summer, it's the best summer drink.
Yes, yes. And I think beer, especially when I go out. Actually, this is another great beer. Is say COVID ends and we go back out to the club. I always get beer at the club, and I don't get like mixed drinks or shots because they can water them down.
Yeah.
The great thing about a beer at the club,
you know exactly what you're
is because they're same, opening it in front of you,
and
they can't change like the content of that beverage.
They cannot change that.
You know, it's like you might pay overpriced, but everything else is overpriced already. But you know you're gonna get your 5% of alcohol content in that Canadian Molson.
What about a beer that was poured by someone at a bar? That's a good beer.
Like
a beer from the tap.
Oh
that's
yeah.
A good beer.
Oh, absolutely.
Poured by someone else. You pay for
a beer on top is a beautiful beer,
and a beer when you're playing pool, that's a great beer too.
Oh, so many great opportunities. Beer. Beer is just so good. This is a great podcast to talk about beer.
Yeah,
oh
it is. We really made it beer theme this time, but I'm glad we did.
Yeah, no, this is a beautiful podcast for us to do.
Yeah,
one more cheers. Get it
there
over
you
here.
Go.
Hey,
hopefully Spirit Live accepts this. If they don't, it's going on Spotify anyway. So.
Yeah, it's going on Spotify. You know what's great? It's like I don't have to edit the cuss words until I do the Spotify. Not no.
The Spirit Live
edit. Yeah.
Spotify edit. Let the
cuss words happen.
You can just. Is there a way to bleep them out or something?
Yeah. I could put like I don't know, like the sound of a dolphin over the number or something.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that could work.
We're singing music,
Let's get to our next block here. We got some very exciting news. We had some great music drop in the past 24 hours.
We did have some great music, especially
for the city.
Yeah, for Toronto, some Drake, a nice 3-song EP, I guess it is. Like, it's a little bit of a single EP thing. I don't know, it's 3 songs, so that's kind of in the middle.
It almost felt conceptual the way he did it, though.
Yeah.
It, like, he gave me, like, the Drake by himself single.
Yeah.
He gave me the popular artist feature, and then he gave me my favorite Drake.
The best one, which was the, like, the mix of him and Rick Ross on, like, a beat that's just, like I was saying earlier, right, it's just, like, this sample from, like, a... The sound of the woman's voice in the sample, you can't really hear what she's saying, but it's over top of a nice, like, of the nice beat on, and you're like, oh, that's the perfect beat, and then Rick Ross is on there too, you're like, wow, this is just a great song, it goes on for 7 minutes,
yeah,
you know, that's the perfect one.
And that's my favorite type of Drake, when he's like,
great
he
bars.
Has a very simple, simplistic, but beautiful melodic beat,
yeah,
and then over top of that, he just talks shit.
Yeah.
For like 6 minutes of just straight bars.
Yeah.
The entire time. And I think one of like the standout ones for sure, like the French immersion. Yeah. Like got
there's
the,
great, there's so many
got great
the lines.
Suburbans lined up, but like it kind of defeats the purpose or whatever. Like there's so many lines that were just
so
incredible.
So many great lines.
And we're talking earlier too, like the Drake and Rick Ross collab has always hit, no matter which way they collab on a song. I don't think I've ever really heard Drake and Rick Ross miss on a song together.
No, man. Any Drake and Rick Ross song I can think of is really good. And you, I know you're a big advocate for Rick Ross features. I also am, but I think we've discussed that before. But Rick Ross is a great feature.
He's a great feature.
Like, much better than, like, a Rick Ross song. I'd much rather hear a Rick Ross feature.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, he's great on anything he's done for Kanye, anything he's done for Drake, anything. Yeah. You know, he's always a great feature.
I think he likes to match the energy of the like the artist that's, like, you know, presenting the music. And I think he does a great job of not only accentuating what the original artist is putting forth and then building upon that, like, that kind of that feeling.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know if we've talked about this before on the podcast, but I saw a thing that said that Kanye, when he was doing the Devil in a New Dress verse, the Rick Ross verse, that Rick Ross gave him a verse and then Kanye sent him back to do another verse because he wanted to be better.
Interesting.
You know, it's like he pushed him to give him the best possible verse out of Rick Ross. And the verse he gives on Devil in a New Dress is awesome.
Okay, the last all
right,
good.
We're back.
Sorry.
We got a little bit of an interruption there. But
my sister
called.
Apparently, my uncle got a dog. He's very cute. We can suggest names later. But that's as awesome. You were saying, the Devil in a New Dress feature that Rick Ross did.
Yeah, I was just saying, I don't know where I saw it, but someone said that, like, Kanye really wanted Rick Ross to perfect that. He pushed him to give the best possible verse he could, which is awesome because Rick Ross is a great feature.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know what the verse was originally, but Kanye pushed him to make the best possible verse. And it's a really great verse. Like, there's so many great lines in that song too, like talking about, like, Yeezy shattering his jaw, climbing up the Lord's ladder. Like, there's crazy lines from Rick Ross in that, but Kanye pushed him to do that, right?
And you have to. That's, like, one of the things that we talked about a while back. Is, like, as a rap artist, what do you do when you ask an artist to feature on your song and the feature is garbage? Like, what do you do with that? You know? And
it just doesn't make the cut, probably.
It probably just doesn't make the cut. But they don't know how, like, awkward that is in the industry.
That's awkward. That's really awkward. Yeah. And I think what Travis probably did on Astroworld is he released the song with Kanye before the album. Remember Watch?
No, I didn't listen to it.
No, it's not very good. Okay. So he released that before the album, but he, like, is close with Kanye, right?
Yeah.
So he had to release that song, but he released it before the album, so it didn't have to come out. Like, that's my theory about it.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, I think if it's just a bad feature, people in the industry understand that you're trying to make the best project.
Yeah.
So it's actually good of Kanye to be like, hey, man, give me the best possible verse you can. I want it to make the album.
Yeah,
you know?
100%.
So that's better than him just getting a bad verse from Rick Ross and then just cutting it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And so, like, I think that's kind of, like, dope of Kanye to recognize that Rick Ross has the potential to deliver a feature that is exponentially better than, like, anything else he could get from anyone else.
And that was in 2010, so that was, like, probably around the time people were realizing Rick Ross features could be good.
Yeah, and Rick Ross was, like, 34 at that time.
Yeah, you just looked up his age today, right?
Yeah, no, he's 45. He's 45.
And Kanye is like 45.
I know, but Rick Ross is 45 and killing it with the pen.
Yeah, he is. He is.
He's murdering it.
Drake's what, 35, 36?
Drake is LeBron's age. He's a 1985 baby.
Okay, so.
Or maybe a year younger.
I think he's 35.
And LeBron's 34.
Okay.
So, or 35, actually. I don't know.
We should look it up.
It's right on my fingertips. I might as well. Drake, age. Drake is 34 years old.
34.
Yes.
Okay.
He is born in 1986. LeBron is 1985, but he has a late birthday. So.
1986. And his is in October. So I guess that would make.
Yeah, his birthday is October 24th.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
That's makes sense.
Yeah. But Scary Hours 2 drop. So, as you were saying, you had a. Hypothesis, because Scary Hours, the first one, drops around this sort of time on his last album, and then Scorpion dropped just before the summer of 2018.
Yeah, I think Scary Hours, I remember when I saw the Scary Hours drop, I think I was like in a basement of one of my old friend's house in Woodstock. But yeah, Scary Hours, I don't remember what month it dropped in, but it was a winter month.
Yeah.
And then the album came out in June. So I imagine it'd be a similar thing, because Drake's going to, like, he was going to drop it in January, but I imagine he's going to wait till the summer at this
point. Yeah. I think he's more of a summer release kind of guy.
Like, now that he's dropped this little EP, it's got to be the summer. There's no way he's dropping an album in the next month or something.
Yeah, no,
it's
gonna
be a few months.
It's gonna be. He's gonna wait at least a minute for that album to drop. And then also dropped on the Thursday night there, or the was it Friday or Thursday night?
It's always Thursday night into Friday.
Yeah. So Silk Sonic, the collab album.
That's the collab group. That's what their group name is.
Okay.
Of Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak.
Yes.
So that'll be super awesome. Those are two really funky artists.
Very funky.
It'll be awesome to hear their full project. They dropped a single and the intro, and they were good. I think they're going to be making really cool music on the album.
Yeah. I'm excited for it. I think that it's the collab that's going to be really fantastic, but I had no idea that I needed it.
Yeah, exactly. I never would have come up with that, but it's really good. I'm glad they linked for that. That's awesome.
100%. And I think Anderson .Paak and Bruno Mars are both such very, very different, distinct voices, I think.
Definitely different voices, but
their style is very much similar. Like, they can both kind of do the pop rapping on top of their vocals are very interesting and kind of introspective and can really deliver on any given song.
I think Anderson .Paak will be bringing more of the hip hop vibe, and then Bruno Mars is just at one point he was top of the pop game.
Yeah.
And he's still one of the biggest pop artists of this generation. He's one of the greatest pop artists of this generation. He's 100%. Awesome. I love Bruno Mars. But Anderson .Paak's insane too. So, and he'll bring, it'll be awesome.
It'll just be
great. Because their vibes intersect, but I think Bruno is more in pop and Anderson .Paak's more in hip hop, but it intersects in the middle with this funky vibe that they do. And so they'll bring that together. It'll just be insane.
Yeah. I think they're both kind of capable of touching into the realm of all the genres they fit into. So I feel like Bruno Mars can delve into that hip hop, R&B, funk area, and Anderson .Paak is just as capable as the pop, the hip hop, and the R&B kind of soul kind of music. It's going to be nasty. I know it's going to be nasty.
Good. I'm excited. I think it comes out later this month. So
I'm very excited for that album to drop. It's going to be very, very interesting to listen, and we're definitely going to have our ears open for that one.
Definitely, so, man.
We should definitely do a review of that when
we
it
should.
Does come out.
We definitely should. I was thinking of another project when we started talking about that. I can't remember. Oh, no. Too bad.
We're in our last 10 minutes here. So I guess we'll close out with a little bit of school talk.
Sure. I guess we can mention some school. This was a big week, I think, for all of us. Just kind of busy.
It has been mad busy, bro. This is kind of when things start to ramp up and you close out in each sort of class.
Well, yeah. I mean, the first 6 weeks of any class is there's work. There's definitely work.
Yeah.
But the last 6 weeks is when they all just pile it on. So it'll be pretty hard the rest of the semester, but we'll get through it. It'll be fun.
Yeah, I think we have in our ENG class together, we got to get 20 short pieces of writing together and then a short story that's been peer edited twice or something.
Yeah, no, it's going to be quite brutal. But that's not this week, that's next week. But we do have to start working on that pretty immediately because we have to get a peer edit in for the story. I only have 7 of the ENG writings. How many do you have?
I think I have 3, 4. I got 2 in last week, so I have 6.
6?
Okay, I have 6, yeah. I think, I have 6 decent pieces, but the thing is that Alex has, 4 really strong pieces.
She has really good pieces. I think her issue is going to be making sure those all match with prompts, and those are very poetry-based things, which is the next thing.
And they're written as poetry. Like as I said before, she doesn't have punctuation throughout. It's
great. They're great writings. I just hope she doesn't get docked marks because it's not really a story. It's more.
Yeah.
But I don't think she was worrying too much about that. So it should be good.
100%. I think just some last thoughts here. It's becoming that time. And even last semester, I felt this. I want to finish strong this semester. But at the same time, what's the point? I should just be getting my 70 and walking out. So it's kind of hard to find that motivation at this point to continue to put my best foot forward.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it just doesn't matter.
I feel that too, man. There's a couple courses I'm going to really try and push to get the best marks in. And there's a couple I'm just going to try and get a 70 in.
Yeah.
You know, because that's just what happened this semester. Last semester I did quite well. But this semester I've, I've been struggling to enjoy my classes as much. I don't know. It's just kind of Zoom fatigue, I guess.
100%.
But yeah, we'll get through it. We'll make it happen as long as we at least get 70s. Like, yeah. It's not the end of the world if that happens.
100%. You know? And then hopefully for next year, you know, I've had quite a few people reach out to me asking me like what the plans are for next year, not only for practicum and living situations in school, yeah. But I'm just hoping that like Justin Trudeau figures out this vaccination plan and we can get back to I've accepted that we won't be getting back to normal for a long time, but I'm expecting that we have a plan to get to a better state of social interaction than we are currently.
True.
At like a nice like mental like how would you describe it, like you feel safe in those social interactions, you don't feel guilty,
yeah, or... you don't feel like it's a bad move in any way, or they, yeah. like you're not doing your part. I think we're gonna get to that, and I think I just thought of this now, but like if we had known from the beginning that this was gonna last like a year or a year and a half or two before we actually get to like seeing that, I don't think we would have been able to handle that.
No,
you know, I was just thinking like it was probably good that they didn't make it seem like it was going to last forever at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because we probably wouldn't have been able to handle that immediately if they were just like, even if they knew in the government and they were like, this is going to be at least a year and a half before you can see most of the people that you know.
Yeah.
Like that, I'd probably be quite upset by that. You know? But at the beginning, it didn't seem like that. They probably knew that. They probably just didn't tell us. They probably
did. It's kind of like when you live in Ontario in February. And every week they put in one day that's like -2 instead of -30 yeah. to make you feel better. Like, oh, I'll go grocery shopping on that.
Yeah,
day.
It's almost.
They give you something to look forward to week by week. You know? Just like, oh, like the vaccines are coming.
Yeah. I think they had to do that to make the population not freak out.
Just for the morale of Canadians all around. But anyways, this is cheers to a great podcast.
Cheers, man. Cheers, good beers, good podcast.
Yeah, good beers, good vibes. And it's been United Wasteman. It's been Ethan Shaw, Ethan Pogue. And we'll see you guys next time.
See you later.